Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Tony Sepulveda, and he is the owner of Greenwater Fishing Adventures. Tony, you've got a little bit of an edge on the fish because I understand you have a Bachelor's of Science in Fisheries.
Exactly, yeah. I graduated here from HSU about 10 years ago.
And does that seem to give you an edge?
You know, it probably does in a roundabout way. I don't think that was really what I was planning on when I was going to school. I don't think I was planning on much anything, actually, when I was going to school. I was just going to school, and anyway, this is what it evolved into.
Uh-huh. And how long have you been fishing?
I've been fishing my whole life. I grew up spending my summers in Mexico, and it's been a part of my life forever.
And when did you come to the North Coast?
95, I got up here to go to school at HSU.
And when did you start your business, Greenwater Fishing Adventures?
So after I graduated from Humboldt, I went up to, I was up in Alaska for about 10 years. And, well, back and forth, summers in Alaska, and then I was doing a little bit of guiding down here at that time. So it's something that's just evolved over the last about 15 years. I guess I first started about, 14 years ago, and it's something that's kind of grown from there, keeps snowballing.
And your business name, Greenwater Fishing Adventures, where does that term come from?
It comes from the color of water that that you want in the rivers when you're steelhead fishing. Jade green water is what you're looking for.
Okay. So you started out your business, you were mostly fishing on the rivers and taking people and guiding them on the rivers, but you've had kind of a more recent development. When did you start taking people out crabbing and salmon fishing out in the ocean?
I started working with another one of the businesses around here, Northwind Charters, who's another great company, still good friends of mine. And that was about 5 years ago I started there. Prior to that, I was working on boats down in Southern California, fishing tuna and yellowtail. So I've had a fairly long connection with the ocean. My business in its current form, I bought Shell back from Phil Glenn last year at the beginning of last season. So that's the way it's evolved.
And Phil Glenn had been a charter fisherman for years and years.
Exactly. Yeah, he had been chartering out of here for probably close to 20 years, I guess, and a lifelong commercial fisherman. And he's still involved in the business. He still runs the boat periodically. And yeah, he's a fantastic guy.
Now, May through about August is when the big ocean fishing for salmon happens. So how does that work? How do people sign up and what do they get to do?
We run our trips a couple different ways. We run single species trips where we're usually targeting salmon. And then we also run combo trips where if we go out and catch limits of salmon rather than coming in, we'll go try for something else. We'll go try for halibut. We'll go try for rockfish and make a full day out of it, basically. Our trips all leave from Woodley Island Marina, and a lot of my booking's done through the ship shop there, which is right across from Cafe Marina there. People can also contact me directly through Greenwater Fishing Adventures.
So when they sign up for it, what all does it entail?
Everything is included. The only thing that you're responsible for is fishing licenses, bring a lunch, drinks, dress warm, that sort of thing. But as far as tackle, gear, we've got all that covered.
Uh-huh. And if you're going to fish, and let's say it's just kind of something that you're not doing all the time, you might be able to just get a one-day fishing license?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can get a one-day license. So
that's
no,
nice.
No huge commitment there.
Okay. Now, what time do they get there?
It varies a little bit with the time, you know, what month and what's going on. But typically, we're leaving the dock about 6:30.
Okay.
So start bright and early.
All right. So down at the dock. Recommendations for seasickness, because I'm thinking that's step number one for me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's really something that everybody's a little bit different on that one. For a lot of people, over-the-counter stuff works great. For other people, if it's more serious, you might want to talk to your doctor about it. And there's actually a lot of good remedies at this point, but it really is person-specific. And if you're really afraid of it, talk to your doctor about it, and they've got some real good ones these days.
Okay. Now, if you do go out and you're salmon fishing, what is usually the limit of the number of salmon you can take?
It's two per person is what it's been for the last few years. And boy, the last couple of years have just been fantastic. It's honestly, really, it's been the best saltwater king salmon fishing on the planet. I guided Alaska for 10 years, like I said. And as far as king fishing is concerned, there's nothing anywhere in Alaska that holds a candle to what we've had here. It's just been absolutely spectacular the last 2 years.
What is the size of some of the salmon people have brought in?
They average right around 15 pounds, but we catch them up pushing 40 pounds. There's, you know, high 20s and fish into the 30s are not at all uncommon.
So they go out on the boat, and how far out do you go?
It's really variable. We're lucky here in this fishery. So it's about 6 miles out to the entrance of the harbor there from Woodley Island through flat water at that point. Most of the time, we're fishing right in front. A lot of times, 2 miles in front of the harbor. There's times where we have to make a longer run. Sometimes I fish her up off of Trinidad. Sometimes I'll run all the way down to Cape Mendocino. But I'd say 90% of the time, we're fishing within a few miles of the harbor entrance there. And so nice short run.
Okay. So let's assume I catch my fish, bring it in. What happens to it then?
So first it goes in, goes in the fish box there. We take it, cool it down. It gets recirculating seawater over it to cool it down and keep it cool for the day. And then at the end of the day, I can gut and gill it, and you can take it home, show it off. Lots of people like to parade them around when they get home and show all the relatives. Or I can fillet it and send it off nice and ready to go.
That's nice, because that's a messy little job.
Exactly. And then you got to deal with all the scraps and the head and the backbone and all that stuff. So it's nice to just to get rid of that on the boat sometimes. But like I said, some people like to parade them around for a while. They want to show the whole fish off. So
now in November, you start doing the crabbing. And that's kind of a unique sort of operation to take people out crabbing.
It is, yeah. There's only a few of us that do it around here, and it's a great little deal. We typically run them as soon as the commercial season starts. We stop doing our trips. So the sport season opens before the commercial. So there's a little window in there where there's just really an abundance of crab out there before the commercial guys have gotten on them. Also, at that point, it's the only way you can get a crab. It hasn't hit the market yet. They're fun trips. They're short. They're about 2 hours long, and go out, pull some crab gear, and load up on crab.
So you actually bait and drop the traps ahead of time.
Exactly. The traps are already in the water. As we pull them and take the crab out, we'll rebait them and put them right back out, and then they're ready for the next day when we run back out there.
About how many crab end up in a trap?
It's variable. It depends on the year. But that time of year, before the commercial season opens, there's an abundance in them. It's usually, I'd say, between 15 and 25 keeper crabs per trap. You can have 10 per person. And usually the way we'll do it is we'll pull one trap for each person, put it back there on the deck, and you've got this big writhing mass of crabs, and you can pick through them.
That's exciting.
Yeah, we'll give you some gloves, and you can go through and pick out the ones you want.
Okay, that sounds great. So after crab season, then you start guiding on the rivers?
Exactly. Yeah, I guide the rivers starting in September. I get on the Klamath. We fish salmon on the Klamath in September. Move up to the Trinity in October. I'm on the Smith doing Trophy King salmon in November. Then our steelhead season starts in December and runs January, February, March. And then I go down on the Sacramento and do straight bass fishing in April. So it's a year-round deal.
Now, for the ability to actually keep some of the fish and eat it, which I'm always interested in. Some of these rivers you can and some you can't. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And it depends on the time of year. So the salmon fishing is still pretty open on most of our rivers to retention. On the Klamath and Trinity, the limit varies a little bit every year. Last year, you could have 3 adult salmon and then 1 under 22 inches as well. So you could actually have 4 salmon a day. But you can keep hatchery steelhead on all our rivers. There's nowhere left in the state of California you can kill a wild steelhead, which is a great thing. But on all these rivers, you can retain hatchery fish of hatchery origin. They clip a fin off of them when they release them from the hatchery. So you can identify those hatchery fish, and those can be kept.
Okay. Is there anything else about sports fishing? I mean, one of the things that I think is neat is the ability to go out and catch your fish, and bring it home and cook it.
Of course, yeah. And it's, I think we live in a day and age where people have sort of lost a connection to their food sources. It comes packaged and ready to go, and we don't really understand the process of where it came from. And so I think it's important for people to maybe draw some ties to the origins of their food sources. And another part of it is everything else that comes with it. It's not just about going out and harvesting. It's about the wildlife and the experience and being on the ocean or being on these amazing rivers that we have on the North Coast. Seeing blue whales and orcas at times out there and stellar sea lions and otters and beavers and, foxes and minks. And so there's so much more to it than just harvesting fish. It's really it's really an all-around experience.
What is your favorite way to prepare king salmon?
When it's fresh, just a little bit of olive oil, salt and pepper, maybe a little bit of garlic and fresh thyme, and on the grill is really hard to beat. A lot of people do them on a cedar plank. That's one of my favorites. But really, when it's fresh, it's just fantastic on its own, and you don't have to do much to it.
Mm-hmm. And how about crab? What's your favorite recipe for crab?
Crab, I usually do pretty straight up. Just boil it in a salt solution and crack it as is, especially, again, when it's really fresh. You don't have to do much to it. It's just fantastic on its own.
I have friends who cook their crab up in seawater, and it seems like it tastes the best.
Exactly. Yeah, you definitely want a little bit of salt in it. But yeah, other than that, you don't need anything.
Can't beat it. Okay, great. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Tony Sepulveda from Greenwater Fishing Adventures. Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, thank you, Jennifer. Right.
crepes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.